Well, today we're thinking about harvesters for our hungry city. Again, we've brought gifts, and I really appreciate all those who've brought these harvest gifts. And we do have a hungry city. Physically, there are food banks, and there are those who are struggling to make ends meet and are very, very grateful for the provision that has been made. But we have a spiritually hungry city as well, and we're thinking about just the importance of the Word of God, how precious it is, and how it's like food that everybody needs to change their hearts and lives, to give them spiritual life through faith in the Lord Jesus. So that's the theme this morning. So I'm going to look at some pictures now that help us through a really important Bible story. I'm going to read the Bible, we're going to read it with the pictures bit by bit. If you want to have the Bible passage in front of you, it's on page 299, and it's from 1 Kings chapter 17. Looking to see whether... Oh, here we go. We've got it there. So it's about Elijah and a widow and her son. It's quite a well-known story. You might have heard it before, but I hope we're going to learn some lessons from this story today. And might be a few questions as well as we go through. Before I read it, you might remember that Jesus said, and he quoted from Scripture, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's an old, old lesson that God wanted his people to learn. In the Bible, we have lots of contrasts between beautiful, lush fields that are growing lots of food and trees that are bearing lots of fruit. And on the other hand, a barren wilderness. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were first in the Garden of Eden? There was this beautiful garden, fruits of every kind. But then when they sinned against God, they were sent out into a wilderness, so to speak. And it was hard for them. And they had to dig the ground, and things were not abundant as they had been before. So this really close link between knowing and loving God and a fruitful life, actually flourishing in him. He knows that we need food, but we don't always realise how much we need him. And that's the lesson we need to learn again and again. Fruitfulness is not having loads and loads of stuff. It's having enough, but knowing God and giving thanks to him for it. So that's a bit of background to this story. So let's look at the first picture. There we go. There's Elijah. We don't know exactly what he looked like, of course. We don't have any photos. But that picture is to remind us of Elijah. He was a man of God. He was a prophet, so he heard God speak to him in very special ways, and he was able to tell the people and the king what the word of God was. I'll read the first few verses of 1 Kings 17. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab..." Now Ahab was the king. "Said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word.' And the word of the Lord came to him, 'Depart from here and turn eastwards and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land." Okay, so let's have a think about this before we see the rest of the pictures. So Elijah had a message for the king that there would be no rain on the land. Now that sounds really hard. What happens when to a land when there's no rain for ages? Any ideas? What happens? Daniel, what happens to a land when there's no rain? That's right. If people are sowing the crops in the ground, they don't grow properly because there's no water. And so this was like a curse on the land. Now, God does not take any delight in sending a curse on the land. But you need to know, and maybe you know this already, that Ahab was a king who did not love God. He did not walk in God's ways. And because he was king, he was leading the whole nation astray. Now, we've had some problems with the alarm system in this church building over the last few days. I'm hoping to get them sorted soon. But when God sent the famine on the land, it's like an alarm call. It's like going, nah, 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 like that. It's like an alarm call to the people. It's a horrible noise, doesn't it, an alarm? Do you have an alarm clock that wakes you up with a noisy sound? Well, it's like an alarm call to the land. And people realise things are not right. The people of Israel should have realised things are not right in our hearts. And God has sent us a sign in the land to show us that things are not right. God doesn't take any pleasure in people suffering and dying. But he had to warn his people that things were not right. So again, that's some background for you. So Elijah, he didn't have Tesco to go to. There wasn't food everywhere, but he was fed in a miraculous way. Did you hear how he was fed? Did you hear who brought Elijah food? Anyone hear that in the story? Yeah. Yeah, it was birds. It was ravens. Big, black, horrible ravens that normally don't do any good to anyone, it seems. But God sent these ravens with food for Elijah and sustained him in that faraway place where he'd gone to hide. Now, here's the next bit of the story. There's a lady outside a city gate. So, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. There she is. She's gathering sticks. She needs to make firewood. She didn't have an oven, but she would make a fire with firewood to cook her food. And Elijah comes and he speaks to her. Maybe she was surprised. I don't know whether she was expecting him or not. God provided this widow there. And it says, "And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" So he's coming, he's asking for things. And I'm sure she wanted to help, but it was a bit of a surprise. Because she said, "Well, things are not going that well. It might not be that easy for me to make some food for you. Let me tell you how things are, Elijah." And she said, verse 12, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." So she's saying, this is going to be our last meal. Now, she wasn't eating poisonous food. It's just she didn't have any more food. So she thought that would be their last meal. So she's like, "Elijah, I'd love to help, but I've hardly got anything. And we're dying of starvation here. It's a really serious time in the lands." But this is what Elijah said to her. Verse 13, "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth.' And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." So this was a miracle that God performed through Elijah. That even though that widow only had a tiny bit of flour and a tiny bit of oil, every time she went back to the jar, there was still some there. Every time she went back to the jug for the oil, there was still some there. Anybody think of a lesson that we could learn from that they kept going back and back because God had said? Anyone think? There might be different lessons. It'd be really interesting to hear what you have to say. Yeah, Max, what do you think we can learn from that? That God can do miracles. Yeah. God is the one who created this universe. So it's no problem for him to make more of something from when he chooses. Any other lessons? Adults can help as well. If you want any other lessons we can learn from that story. Yeah, David? Oh, trust God. Thank you, Phil. Yeah, David? It's good to do good and to share, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. Yeah, Jamal? Sorry? never turn people away? Well, Jesus never turned people away, did he? So he set that example for us. He said, whoever comes to me, I won't drive away. And like Phil said a moment ago, can trust in God. He doesn't necessarily want us to hoard things so we've got things for years and years in the future. It's good to be wise, good to save sometimes, but he wants us to trust him for our daily bread. There's a prayer, isn't there? The Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. So to trust God day by day and moment by moment. That's a lesson there. Now the story carries on. So let me read you a little bit more. Here we go. A few more pictures. There they are with the bread that was provided by God day by day. There's the jug of oil and the jar of flour. But the story goes on. There's the widow's son, and sadly, he became unwell. This is the next part of the story. Verse 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Very sad situation. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, why have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber of the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Now we're going to learn a verse from this story. We're going to learn from what that woman said. So this is what the woman said at the end of the story. So if you can see that on the screen, we'll read that together. It says, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." 1 Kings 17:24. And there's some words highlighted there in a different colour. What are those words right in the middle of that verse? Can you see? Yeah? Oh, Daniel, can you see? The blue, that's right. What are they, David? Yeah? The word of the Lord, that's right. The word of the Lord. Because God was seeking to teach his people then and his people now that we need God's word even more than we need our daily food. There's an enormous squash here, isn't there? You can't fail to miss it. No one's allowed to play football with it afterwards. It's incredible. But no matter how much food that there is, we need God's word more. It's funny to think of your soul, isn't it? Having a mouth that needs to feed. But it's just like that. Just like your body needs your daily food, your soul needs the word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And that lady was learning that lesson. She was seeing these amazing things that Elijah did and realized that he was a man sent from God, speaking God's words. And that's because God loved his people and he loved the world. He sent people with his word. And most importantly, we remember God sent his own son, the living word of God, to be our saviour. So we learn the importance of the word of God. And when people are hungry in their souls, what they need is God's word. They need God's promises that will point them to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll think some more about that after we've sung again. So our third song we're going to sing together is all about the help that God gives to his people in order to share the good news of Jesus. So later on we'll think about being a harvester in God's harvest field. And if you're to serve God, you need his help. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be our help. And if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, His word says that his spirit comes to live inside you, to be the helper that you need to live for God. God himself in the person of his spirit to be our help. So we'll stand again and sing this song together. So we're thinking again about harvesters for our hungry city. I don't know if we've got that picture there, Lee. Harvesters for our hungry city. There it is. So does anyone know what that piece of kit is called? Well, I know we've got farmers in the building, so anyone who hasn't answered yet, tell me what that is. Elizabeth. It is a combine harvester. We're so used to the machines that are used on farms nowadays. But there's still many parts of the world where fields are farmed manually, where people go out in twos or in teams, and they'll be gathering the harvest by hand. And even if you use a combine harvester, there's still lots of people involved in processing all of that food. So we see a field that's being harvested, and we're moved to give thanks to God. But Jesus tells us more than that as well. Now here's where we got to before we sang. We're learning to live, not by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. So let's hear this verse that we're learning again. Shall we say this again together? Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. 1 Kings 17:24. Now remember the context, remember the situation. The nation of Israel was desperate for rain and desperate for food. So they were probably thinking, that's the number one thing that we need, is rain and food. That's the biggest thing that we need. And I'm sure you and I would feel the same if we were in that situation. You wouldn't be able to think of anything else. And yet, God was teaching his people, no, you need me more than you need my blessings. And the reason my blessings have dried up is because you've ignored me. You need me and my words more than the blessings. I know how much you need food. God knows. He made us. But he knows that we need him more. Because it's a terrible thing to have to go without food for a long time against your will. But it's even worse to be without God in this life and the next. Do you see? God in his love and his care shows us difficult things in this world. But he wants us to learn the vital lessons. Because when we're trusting in him, we can be confident not just now but for the future. The word of the Lord is what we really, really need. It's amazing, isn't it? We can easily just put loads of stuff into our mouths when there's lots of food around. But God's saying, you need to listen to what's coming out from my mouth, which will feed your soul. Now, Elijah was one of the prophets. There were many other prophets as well. Who can tell me some of the names of the prophets? There were loads of them. Loads of them. Anyone tell me any of the names of the other prophets? Yeah, Elizabeth? Amos, one of them? Yeah? Jeremiah? Yeah? Well, Matthew was an apostle of Jesus. A bit like the prophets. That's a good answer. Yeah? Isaiah? Yeah? Any more? Keep them coming. Yeah? Hezekiah was a king. He's got a name a bit like a prophet, hasn't he? There was a prophet Ezekiel as well. There were loads of them, weren't there? Loads of them. And you can read of them. But they all had a message that was very similar. They were all pointing to the same thing. So I'm going to read to you now a verse from Amos. But it was a warning that was a little bit like the warning that God gave through Elijah. It's the same message. Listen to this. It's there on the screen. You can see it. I'll read it to you. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There were days when things went really, really well for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. There were times when the kings seemed to have loads of wealth and the people seemed to have loads, and there was loads of abundance and everything seemed to be going okay. But you know what the strange thing was? It was often in those times that they forgot God. You could look at our nation today, and actually there is a lot in our Western world. We do have a lot. Not everyone has a lot, and we have to look out for those who don't have. But we're quite prosperous still, and we often take that for granted. And in our land, there can be a famine for God's word. Where can you find God's word? If you were to look for God's word, where would you look for it? Yeah, Max? In the Bible, that's right. Do you have a Bible at home, Max? Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? So you can open up the Bible in your own home. If you didn't have a physical copy of the Bible, where else could you look for it? Where else could you look for God's word? Yeah? Online. Yeah, isn't that incredible? We haven't just got physical books now. We've got the Bible online as well. So we've actually got the Bible everywhere. Now, there are times and places where sometimes the government tries to shut down God's word. Can you imagine somebody coming in like a policeman and saying, we're going to take all the Bibles out of this church, you're not having them anymore? That's happened, not here, but in other places and in other times. Or can you imagine going online to search for the Bible so that you can read it, and it says you can't access this page? Governments do that. They don't want people to hear God's word. But do you know what the crazy thing is? That doesn't happen in our land at the moment, does it? We've got it freely available, but so many people are hungry for God's word. They've got it all around them, but they don't know that they need it, so they don't feed on it. So that famine for the words of the Lord is in our land today. And so we need to hear the words of Jesus to tell us what we need to do next. Now, if you know that God's word is precious, what can you do to feed on God's word? If you know how precious God's word is, how can you treasure it? How can you make the most of it? What do you think? Yeah, Daniel? By praying and reading the Bible. Yeah, you can ask God, please bless this to me. And you can feed on God's word yourself. And you can share it with others as well, can't you? Just like we're sharing this food with others, you can share the food of God's word with others as well. And Jesus' words in the New Testament really help us here as well. So Jesus said to his disciples, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. So Jesus was with his disciples and he was teaching them. And he was teaching them about a harvest, not of food, but of people. He was teaching them that when somebody comes to faith in Jesus, it's like a harvest being gathered in. So if you were a farmer and you had loads and loads of crops and you got them in with the combine harvester, where would you put them? Where would you put all of those crops? Yeah, Max? Yeah, you'd share them with others, Max. Yeah, that's great. But before you sent it anywhere, where would you put it? There's a big sort of storage place on a farm. Where would you put it? Oh, there's a hand right at the back there. Yeah, Patrick. In a barn, that's right. Great big storeroom full of crops. And the Bible talks in that way about people coming to the Lord. It's like God wants to fill his barn. He wants to fill his home. He wants to fill his house. And so he gathers in people. He doesn't just gather in food. He gathers in people. And he wants lots and lots and lots and lots of people to come to him. He wants his barn to be full. He wants heaven to be full. And he wants people to be gathered in. And so Jesus is saying, look, there's this harvest. Lift up your eyes. So, how can we obey Jesus' word? He says, lift up your eyes. Well, we can look around, can't we? We can look around and think, who do I know? Who are my friends and family? Do they know the Lord Jesus? I could pray for them that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus. I could pray that God will give me the chance to tell them about Jesus. I can look up and see God is at work in this world. You know, there's a whole room full of people here who are gathered to hear God's word. God is at work in this world. There are rooms of people like this all over the world. Even in some places where they're meeting in secret. God is at work. So this bread of God's word, people are really hungry for it. And God's help, the Holy Spirit that he gives to his people, is active and at work through his people as they preach his word. So there's a harvest going on, and Jesus says, I want you to be involved. I want you to be praying about this. I want you to be working in my harvest field. So the last verse I've got for you this morning is this one. And again, I'll invite us to read this together, because these are instructions from the Lord Jesus. So once again, let's read these words together. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. So Jesus gives us a really clear instruction. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, pray to God that he would send out laborers into his harvest. So we can pray today, we can pray for church leaders, not just here, but all over our city, all over our country, all over the world. We can pray for youth leaders, people who especially teach children and young people about Jesus. We can pray for evangelists who go around all the time in different places telling others about Christ. And we can pray for every Christian. Jesus wants everyone who is a follower of Jesus to be a laborer in his harvest field. Do you think we can do this on our own? Who thinks that we can do this on our own and obey Jesus' command on our own? No. We need God's help, don't we? And that's why we pray. Say, God, please send out laborers. And like Isaiah, we can say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Pray that God would raise up and equip and send out laborers. You can pray for your friends. But let me ask you today, children here, and adults, every single one of us, what about you? It's like there's this harvest field. Do you know what it is to be brought in to the barn, so to speak? Brought into God's family, brought into God's presence. Have you heard his invitation? Do you know him? Have you done what Jesus said and repented? You turned away from your own sins, put your faith and trust in Jesus. Because before you can be a laborer in God's harvest field, you need to be his. You need to belong to him. Have you ever come to the point where you've asked God for forgiveness? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for yourself? You know, Matthew, as we rightly heard, he was one of Jesus' disciples. And he recorded the things that Jesus taught. We've read one of those things just now. But the gospel writer Matthew didn't just record what Jesus taught. He recorded what Jesus did. How he went to the cross and died on that cross for our sins. So do you know Jesus as your saviour? Have you said, Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. I don't want to be outside your kingdom anymore. I want to belong to you. Please make me clean on the inside. Please cleanse me from my sin. I want what Jesus did to count for me. For him to have taken my sins on the cross and for him to give me his righteousness. And if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, are you growing in him? Growing up to maturity? Are you feeding on his word day by day? I'm going to close by doing what Jesus has told us to do. I'm praying. And as I pray, I invite you to join me in prayer. I'll pray that God would really help us to understand what it is to belong to him. And then I'll pray that he would make us laborers in his harvest fields. So let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to pray first of all for those here in this church who've known the Lord Jesus for many years. And we want to say thank you for them. And thank you for doing that work in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for their prayers. And thank you for their example. Some of your servants, Lord, are frustrated that they can't do more. But they don't realise how much they're doing by their prayers. Lord, please encourage those in this church who've been labourers in your harvest field for many years. Please give them the joy of pointing people to Jesus, even this week. Help them to see that they are still laborers in your harvest field. Lord, we pray for those of us, perhaps the children, or those of us who may only have been a Christian for a short time. Please help us to grow up into healthy Christians. Help us to feed on your words day by day. Help us to put it into practice. Help us to never ignore your word. Please help us to be laborers in your harvest field. Help us to tell others about Jesus. And last of all, but not least at all, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for anyone here who's thinking, am I a Christian? Do I know the Lord Jesus for myself? I want to be part of that harvest. I want to come into God's kingdom. Heavenly Father, please help little ones or older ones who have that in their hearts. We pray that they might be born again by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would hear their quiet prayer. God, please forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. Please make me yours, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would take Jesus' word seriously, be his followers, be workers in his harvest field. Lord, we pray for these gifts that we're going to be distributing. We pray for those who receive them, that they would be encouraged by the love that has been shown. Lord, we pray for the famine of your word in our city. Oh, we pray that people would find your word online. We pray that people would open your word and feed on it for their souls. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.